Blog Talk Radio.
That air, damn it. Captain Stuntcock, and I'm a bastard man.
As well as.
And in his eye, Trips. And you got to know when to hold.
Oh, thank God you got the. You played along with it. Thank God.
Dude, I had a whole. I texted you a whole thing of football when I there. You never bet on football.
Oh,
when you're still playing Sundays, yeah.
Oh, no. It's also when you now play on Saturdays, because that has come out. NCAA has now made rules for betting on any sport in college.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Now I bet for now. Like, so the girl has to be like, you never bet on football when you're playing weekends.
Yeah. Oh, I'm Kenny Rogers. Welcome to Jackass.
Welcome to Chili.
Yep. There'll be time enough for betting when your career is done.
Hi, welcome to Chili's.
You just need Roger Goodell with a cowboy hat and a guitar, you know?
Listen. If you're betting on football and if you're playing on Saturdays and Sundays and you're betting on sports...
Dummy! Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, like John Witherspoon on Friday. You want to bet on football? It's your ass!
Like Kendrick Perkins.
Eh.
You know, bet on the white guy for MVP. You're a racist.
Don't bet on football. Don't bet.
But yes, like I said, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Betty Window on the Nerdport Network. If this is your first time listening to us, we are a sports podcast that dives into the good, the bad, and the what the fuck was that in the wide world of sports and sports betting. Remember, if you are betting following our leads, we do not always pick winners. So bet with your head, not with your dick.
And since we have Captain Stockcock here, we're probably going to talk a little wrestling too. Money in the Bank.
I don't know if I should take the Southern drawl as an insult or not.
Jesus!
Got a little money. Why do we say...
I know I live in the Midwest, but, like, I'm just... It's not Georgia.
I mean...
sports podcast, so you can't say wrestling because someone will go wrestling. Like, oh, like Olympics, so you go wrestling, you know.
Wrestling, you know.
Woo!
Kansas.
Woo!
Like I said, you know what the hottest thing a girl could ever say from the Midwest? I have full dental.
Oh, not a lie, but fuck you.
Just because I'm right doesn't mean I'm correct.
Exactly, sir.
What is foreplay in the Midwest? I have dental.
So what do you think? I mean, because they said there's going to be a big upset at Money in the Bank. What do you think it is?
The lone wolf comes back. Smiley Corbin. Smiley Corbin's stomach. Smiley Corbin's stomach killed another three people.
I think Finn wins the title.
Oh, God.
It would make sense.
Well, thing is, money's in the chase, and the way they're portraying it, it's like 7 years ago, Rollins laughed in his face, and it's like, and he's the baby face? And I'm sorry, like, if I'm hurt, and 7 years ago, the guy I'm fighting, he laughed in my face, I think I have every right to beat the shit out of him. Especially when he fucks you.
That or Carmelo?
I mean, yeah.
Carmelo Hayes comes up? I don't know.
Braun Breaker?
I don't know about that. I mean, I think Finn wins. I think Jaden McDonough makes an appearance.
That could be. That could definitely be. I mean, the other thing is, too, is there's rumors. Everyone's now saying Logan Paul's going to win Money in the Bank. I really hope. Honest to God, the person that needs to is Priest.
Well, Damian Priest, I definitely think, has a shot to win the bank, the briefcase.
Well, I'm saying he kind of needs to.
I don't kind of need it, really. I mean, he's over.
Oh, I'm not saying
he's over. Main event like every freaking week on Raw. I mean, shit.
But out of
You must be doing something right when you're like main eventing with like freaking Rollins and Cody Rhodes.
There's only two people out of that match that actually deserves a briefcase right this second, and that's Priest and Knight.
Priest and Knight.
That's it.
That's it right there, and it's like, if LA Knight has it, I mean, then. Well, the thing is, Reigns has a freaking death grip on that fucking title, so yeah.
But I'm saying, if you get, you know what, though? Give it to Priest, and if Priest knocks off Reigns?
Ooh.
I mean, I was always saying Cody, but it doesn't look like they're doing shit with Cody right now, so that ain't happening. But if Priest takes it off of him, that's a main event. That makes your main event guy.
You think Cody loses on Saturday?
Who's Cody got? Cody's got.
I feel like Brock Lesnar shows up.
Dominic? Oh God.
Brock shows up just.
Brock shows up and destroys everybody. You know, with diverticulitis 3.
Well, the smartest one's Rhea Ripley because she has no match and. Given her bad history of Money in the Bank, can't lose if you don't have a match.
No, and the fact that they added Riddle and Gunther.
Dude, that boot backstage when Riddle was zoomed in was hilarious.
The main event, you know, is going to be the Bloodline.
Well, all right, you think the Bloodline match main event?
Yeah. Oh, it has to.
Unfortunately. I don't think it should. Probably will because...
Here's the thing. If you main event that, then you could... You better... If they open up with the men's, they're closing with the Bloodline, and then you're going to get a tease.
So you think we get a singles women's championship match at Money in the Bank?
What are we? We're missing who? Rhea's the women, and who's?
I say yes. It's not going to be Rhea though.
No, we're going to get a triple. We're going to get a
Asuka versus Charlotte versus Bianca.
Yeah, Bianca's going to fuck over on SmackDown, and it's going to get thrown into.
And Io Sky passes in and wins the title. That's a smart move because anybody tries to cash in on Rhea, it's like you're fucking committing suicide right now. Not taking that title off her. I'm talking about creative.
The only two people that can, like, in my opinion, actually win the women's side is Io and Zelina.
Yeah, the thing is, though, you know, what I'm saying is, like, creative's not taking that title off her, like, They're praising the shit out of Judgment Day, how Balor's easy to work with, how Rhea is basically, you know, she has decided to put more people over than just being the dominant type, especially on live events.
Yeah, because, you know, with people like that can put people over, but CM Punk can't put over a veteran a veteran Japanese wrestler from New Japan.
Well, basically saying that she could, like, I don't think so, brother. You know, that don't work for me, brother, thing.
And that don't work for me, brother.
Yeah, she hasn't. She has been completely open, like, they said, what was it, I forgot, a match of, freaking Max. Live event, they were like, oh, well, you know, 5 minutes should be here, and all of a sudden, she went and talked, I think it was Priest, and Priest had his match cut so she could put over Nixon more. Like, she has been really selfless, so I don't think they're going to take the title off her yet. If any title is going to get hot potatoed, it's Asuka's.
Yeah.
I think that.
Apparently,
I mean, the Becky thing looks good, but I have a feeling Becky's not going to win it either.
No, because it's tied too much into Trish and Zoe.
Yeah, and well, the funny thing is, like, how many people would have thought the Judgment Day would still be going as strong as it was last year?
I mean, you were going to have them go.
Yeah, but a lot of people were like, kill this now, kill this now. And I was like, wait till she gets back. Wait till she gets back from injury. And they've been like the lovable dickheads. I mean, every one of them has just killed it.
Dom is probably the best heel in the business right now.
Dude, Dom is like, I get annoyed at the crowd because they just boo him so bad.
Dude, Dom's got it figured out for right now. He really does.
Well, the thing is also, like, they have him trying, like, working several styles, I guess, so he's going to be a big heel. That's why they had the Cody match. That's why they had him work with Rollins. That's why they had him work with other people. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. And,
yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah, but I can't wait to hear the British crowd, though.
Oh, well, it's funny because everyone's like, oh, AEW sold out the British side. I go, motherfucker, TNA sells out fucking Britain.
Well, the thing is, I look at Dynamite now in a Collision. Why does Dynamite look like a B-show?
Collision is more the B-show. Collision's fucking Nitro.
Dude, Collision looks fucking good. Like, the stage looks good. I mean, it seems like more people, more of the bigger names, want to work Saturday than Wednesday night.
It's not that. Go look at everybody that's on Saturday. It's all the people that have trouble with the Elite and...
Oh, it's all people that have trouble with the Elite, which are a lot of people. CM Punk, Miro, the House of Black is basically almost like exclusively on Saturday now.
Thunder Rosa.
Yeah, what? Well, I have a feeling that the House of Black, was going to be on Saturday because, well, tweets up Buddy.
Ryan, did you see the tweets from Buddy and Dom? It was a fake tweet thing.
Yeah,
It was Rhea posted, and Dom goes, look at them titties. Buddy goes, the fuck is my girlfriend, dude? Yeah, I said, look at them titties. He goes, you want to be buried? He goes, yes, and them titties.
Buried in them titties.
Wait, what was this? When was this?
This was on Twitter. It was just a joke. Like, it was a spoof account. It was Dom and Buddy Murphy. And Dom goes, whoa, Rhea, look at them titties. Buddy just goes, that's my girlfriend, dude. He goes, yeah, look at them titties. He goes, do you want to be buried where you stand? He goes, no, I want to be buried in them titties.
Funny thing is, people said shit, and Rhea's like, my man has, like, how was it? They said he's got everything go. Like, he's, like, the nicest guy. I'm like, yeah. I mean, remember the Alexa dumped him. And it was because, like, the other divas wasn't because of him. So, whatever there, I mean, they were young, but anyway. But the Dom thing is hilarious because they even laugh about it because Dom's happily fucking married.
Dom's engaged. I don't think he's married yet. Dom!
No, he's married. He's married.
Yes, sorry, I had some things running up around here. I had to take care of, so. Personal stuff. Just leave it at that.
Yeah, well, no, I'm saying it's all good.
So, I think after Forbidden Fall, I never want to see another false finish again in my life.
Well, you don't like the Japanese style.
No, it's not the Japanese. The Japanese style is fine.
No, I'm saying the Japanese false finish
40
style.
40 minutes to an hour into it, it's like the guy needs a tank and an army and a nuke to put the guy out, and he still kicks out.
That's what I mean. You don't like the falsy, like the. So it's funny. So someone actually
saying it's a joke because everybody used to bitch about Super Cena, like basically you beat the shit out, you can kill him, but he still count at it too, kick out at two.
Can I ask?
Remember
you
that?
Yeah, I know. But hold on, let me ask you something. With the false finishes, where people look at something like the false finishes and think it's amazing, and other people don't like it, clearly. What about if it was the other way and it was an hour Broadway and there was only one false finish or two false finishes?
First off, an hour-long Broadway, my respect.
I understand that, but I'm saying as though as you get a 50-minute match with 1,000 finishes and then throwing the shit at the wall and they're still going strong. But then you have the other way where it's an hour Broadway and there's no finishes, but the match is still compelling.
I mean, I can't say shit. I just tested a match and it's got a few false finishes in it.
I understand that, but you get my point, though. You get people like Cornette bitching that there's too many finishes. There's too many. A short-arm clothesline is not a fucking is a bad finisher, yada, yada, yada. But yet he was in the era where Dusty and Flair would go hour Broadways and the most intense thing was like 5 rest holds.
Right.
Well, I mean, my thing is like how people used to bitch about Cena kicking out at you all the time.
Oh, right.
Like, Super Cena has nothing on that at all. Nothing ever.
Like, Chris,
That's why I find it hilarious and entertaining that basically people were saying, you know, you have to shoot Cena with a tank, and he still kicked out it, too. And that's why I did the missile stick. I'm like, you know, you can fire all the missiles in the world at Kenny Omega. Motherfucker still kicked out it, too.
Even one.
1 3/4.
Yep.
He kicked out at one on the one-winged angel.
See, that's what I was laughing about. I mean, was it a good match? Yes, it was a great match. The thing is, though, after a while, you're like, okay, come on. Come on. It gets a little goofy. And that's when it gets funny.
But you know it's going to get 8 stars by Uncle Tuna Meltzer.
Dude, Meltzer's going to give that thing 1,500 stars.
That's going to get 5 stars and 2 hard-ons.
It was the greatest wrestling match of all time.
It was entertaining, I'll give it that. Maybe not the greatest match of all time, but it was...
5 stars and a box of tissues.
Yeah, and a Zamboni. What's the Zamboni for? Clean up.
Clean up.
5 stars, a box of tissues, and a Zamboni.
5 jizz balls.
5 jizz balls.
And I've got to say, in all honesty, it's the biggest piece of dog shit that I have ever heard.
All right. Should we get into the news?
Yeah.
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 So, all right. Let's get this shit going.
Woo!
All right. Let's start it off in the Major League Baseball, where Shohei Ohtani became the first AL pitcher in nearly 60 years. 2 home runs and strikeout 10.
Being the next billionaire?
Yeah. That's Shohei.
Can you just say even he gets the hit by a bus award, where he can literally be hit by a bus and still win the fucking MVP?
Yeah.
Well, he's got the AL MVP again.
Even if he gets traded, he'll still get the NL MVP.
Put it to you this way. He was the only man unanimously voted into the All-Star game. Everybody else still has to vote to get in. His locked.
Curious. Oh, really? That's just off the fucking board? MVP is not on the board right now. Ha!
Gee, I wonder why, because it's an easy, it's a sucker's bet.
Oh, it's probably like minus 10,000. And Christian even said it. The only reason Judge won it last year was because Judge broke a record.
Right.
Yeah.
Not saying that's not a bad thing, but that's the reason he broke a record. If he didn't break a record, it was going to be Shohei again.
Yeah. Basically, Shohei would have had it if Judge wouldn't have broke the record. So
yeah. Judge did something. Judge did a phenomena where he just didn't really matter. It just at that point was like, listen, he's going to win the MVP. Granted, he should have won the MVP when Altuve won it.
And Judge is out right now, isn't he? He has like no.
He's out for the year. He might be out for the year.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's not officially out for the year, but he might be out for the year.
Torn ligament in his toe.
Boy, that's going to make Christian happy.
Yeah, because from what I've heard in articles that he cannot put any weight on his foot whatsoever. Mm. And if he does, it's excruciatingly painful.
That sucks. Torn ligaments suck.
And I don't know if it's in his big toe, little toe. I don't know what toe it's in. But it's the one where he collided into the wall in L.A. is what did it. When he fell into that door.
Yeah, it was the one in Dodger Stadium.
Dodger Stadium, when he went to catch the ball and he basically almost went through the door into the bullpen.
Yeah.
So apparently with that bullpen, there is a lip on that bullpen. There is a stone lip, like a concrete lip on that, and his toe got drilled right into that lip.
Yeah, got caught into it, yeah.
So.
Almost like a gutter.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's pretty much, you can write him off for this year.
So, In oh my God, what the fuck is he doing nowadays? You guys remember a pitcher? He was with the Blue Jays called Alec, by the name of Alec Moya.
Yeah.
Oh, Alec Manoa.
Manoa.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, so he has not been doing well with the Blue Jays. Actually, so bad that he got sent down to rookie ball.
Damn.
Where he had his first start yesterday.
How many runs did he give up?
I want you guys to guess.
Oh.
23.
In a row?
37.
Wait, are you saying all-star pitcher Alec Manoa just got sent down to the minors?
To rookie ball.
Single A rookie ball.
Ah!
What the hell for?
But hold on. But here, Chris, you need to answer this, though. How many runs did he give up in his in his debut at Rookie Ball.
Oh, boy. It is probably
10. Chris and Ryan were both close. He gave up 11 runs, 10 hits.
Ow!
10 hits, 2 homers, 2 strikeouts, 3 walks, and 2 1/3.
Jesus Christ.
What the fuck?
To 19-year-old kids.
It's like that old Bugs Bunny cartoon where they're doing the conga around the thing.
Yeah. The majority of rookie-level league is filled with teenagers who have minimal professional experience.
What the fuck happened to Alec Manoa?
Well, let me put it to you this way. Ryan, if you got the soundbite ready... He might need a new profession. I wonder if a certain fast food restaurant is hiring.
Hi, welcome to Chili's.
Oh, boy.
There you go.
He made his rookie A debut and...
Shit the bed.
How fast would you like a chainsaw?
Oh, God.
Would you like to start out with an appetizer, sir?
No, I'm like, the guy was an all-star for years. What the fuck happened to him?
He finished third last year in Cy Young.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, aren't you that welcome to Chili's. Hey, aren't you that former pitcher, Manoa? No, never heard of him.
Is he hurt?
Well, I get that all the time.
No, dude, he literally he was so bad with the Blue Jays, he got sent down. He got FDA'd.
DFA'd.
And got DFA'd and got sent down.
God
damn,
talk about a shitty beginning to the season. Fuck.
That's pretty shitty.
From all-star for the Jays to, like, damn.
He might have...
Bad boy for the Blue Jays.
He might have been hurt last year. No, he might have gotten hurt in June. But still, like, even then, even if he's hurt and he's down in rookie ball for simulation, he wouldn't give up... fucking 11 fucking runs in 2 1/3.
He turned into Ricky Vaughn from Major League.
Yes. Someone get him glasses. Somebody get him glasses.
I got 3 hits. Yeah, if a guy will be bagging groceries next week.
Good. Humiliator line, right?
Speaking of humiliation.
Yeah, not the Terminator, whatever the fuck it is. It might be See You Later. He's going to become a spectator. Jesus Christ.
Won't be a See You Later.
Speaking of.
Pull up the Masturbator.
Speaking of embarrassment, the Washington Nationals beat the Seattle Mariners today, 4-1.
Who the hell did the Angels have a football game with?
Oh, you mean the 25-5 Rockies game?
Oh, the Rockies.
That was the Rockies that they beat up that bad?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the 13th third.
I mean, Eduardo Escobar's welcome to Anaheim. Or Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, or whatever the fuck their name is.
Dude, that Rocky Mountain Air, man.
Rye, you want update your Cards are winning 6-3.
Oh yeah, I know. I'm paying attention. Don't fucking blow it.
I mean, it can't be as bad as New York last night losing to Oakland.
I don't know, dude. We went to London, and Waino showed that he should have hung it up last year.
That bad, huh?
I hate to have to say it, man. Look, he's 3 wins away from 200. He wants 200 before he's done. We're like halfway through the season. He's got fucking 9 starts. He's 3-2. Those are shit numbers for him.
Yes.
I don't want him to tarnish his legacy in the pursuit of 200 wins.
The rate he's going, he might very well do so. I hate to say that about him because I like Waino.
After the opening of the London, first off, for all the fans that participated in this, I'm fucking ashamed of you. You should fucking be ashamed of yourselves. Because after that start, fans took to Twitter and were so hard on Waino, he deactivated his account.
Yeah.
Gee, that sounds familiar.
I saw highlights of Waino getting shelled.
Dude, it was bad. But I still think it's fucked up for the fans to go so hard on him that he deactivates his Twitter.
Dude, first off, Waino's been one of the best pitchers in Cardinals history.
Yes, but he's starting to decline.
Isn't he like 40 or 41 now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I understand he wants 200 wins. He wants that record.
But you just said it too, John. He's 40.
Well, he's starting to decline. He can't throw heat anymore. He has to rely on breaking stuff, like, completely the whole way through.
Right. He should have just, last year he should have left with Yachty and Albert.
Yeah.
That's the way it should have ended.
The three Musketeers going down together.
Yeah. Now, the only downside is Adam Wainwright is, even at this point, still a carbon copy of Chris Carpenter. We need to have an arm like that.
Yeah.
And we don't have one when he,
you know what pitcher's going to have to rely on all this breaking shit soon when he comes back? DeGrom.
If he comes back.
Dude, that's the thing. I don't even know if DeGrom's going to see the light of day.
You know what? And I'll say this, too, with DeGrom. Look.
Wait, DeGrom's going to get knocked back down to rookie ball like Manoah?
No.
Chris, his career might be over.
Look, I said a lot of shit about DeGrom because I was upset that he left the way he left and all that stuff. But down deep in my heart, I kind of figured, I said, with the way he's pitched the last 2 seasons with not even a full season behind him, he's like injury here, injury there, pitch about maybe 50 innings, 60 innings before he had another injury scare or something like that. DeGrom still thinks he could throw like when he was 25. And that's going to end up biting him square in the ass. And it has. And somebody said it during, I don't know if it was MLB Network or something, or if it was on the Fan, or I forget when. This very well could have tarnished his Hall of Fame legacy right now because he's not going to have those Hall of Fame type numbers to finish his career out. Because sure, what, you got 2 Cy Youngs. Yeah, great. There's a lot of pitchers with 2 Cy Youngs that are not in the Hall of Fame. No, he's not at 200 wins. He's not at 3,000 strikeouts. Doesn't have a ton of no-hitters. He doesn't have a lot of other stuff that they could base it off of.
Like, I noticed that was one thing we were getting, like, as soon as he got to here, like, he started developing more breaking pitches and not just relying on the fastball.
See, that's a problem Syndergaard's having. Syndergaard's still trying to change his game up during games, and that's what's hurting him. You know, he's trying, because Syndergaard even came out and he says, I can't throw over 100 anymore.
Oh, he did that? Yeah, Syndergaard, Right.
He even came out and he said he's not himself because he can't throw hard anymore. Well, guess what? When you get into a certain funk or when your arm has so many injuries attached to it, it's never the same.
Yeah, when you get a certain age even. Like.
And you know what the sad thing is? Syndergaard's only 30 years old. But he's destroyed his arm because he throws so much gas, he's burned his arm out.
There it is.
That's
what a lot
gas.
Of these younger pitchers do. That's why a lot of younger pitchers nowadays are like working on breaking stuff right away.
You have to, unfortunately, because that's the only way you're going to be as a pitcher, have longevity. That's why somebody like a Waino, who didn't always rely on gas, are still active. But
like Craig Maddux.
Maddux never threw heat. Maddux was a junk ball, what they call a junk ball pitcher. Curveball, changeup, slider, forkball.
And he had a hell of a career, a long career.
Right, yeah, because he didn't blow his arm out. He wasn't there. I mean, I think his fastball, the fastest it ever reached was 88, 89.
I have a feeling Alvarado is going to be shot in a couple of years.
I hate to say it, but I don't know what Shohei does. I don't know if he throws a lot of fastballs, but he better pray to God his arm doesn't go out where he can't even hit anymore, because if he throws a lot of gas, he could end up with Tommy John and be done. I hate to say that about any guy, but...
Jose throws a lot of gas, a 12-6 curve, and I think maybe a slider I've seen. That curveball is nasty.
That's why, if you know, what's the guy that was the Yankee closer? What was Chapman? He don't throw over 100 anymore.
Oh, yeah, Chapman, his arm's burned out, and now he's back to Kansas City.
Chapman, Ronnie, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't he reach 105 on a clock once?
Yes, he did.
He holds the major league record as a major league pitcher for the fastest pitch ever. It's not the fastest pitch, period. It's the fastest pitch in the majors, though. Kid from Tennessee hit 105.7 Chapman hit 105.2.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Chapman responsible for like a 102-mile-an-hour fastball that broke Jason Hayward's jaw?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, I believe you might be right on that one, yeah.
Why he started wearing the extended chin guard?
Well,
that's why a lot of people wear those.
The extended chin guard started actually right when Giancarlo got hit.
Giancarlo actually wore, before they changed it to what they have now, they practically had the one where it covered the entire face. It almost looked like a football helmet.
I'd rather have them go back to softball style where they have the cage in front.
I remember those too.
Because, I mean, they had the chin guard on it, and that fastball came right up underneath it.
Yeah.
It found his jaw.
It found the gap.
Yep.
That's why Harper has that nice jaw piece now on his helmet.
A lot of it. Alonso has it. Giancarlo has it.
I mean, granted, you also had people like John Olerud back in the day rocking the fucking catcher's helmet.
He wore that in the field.
Yeah.
Can you blame him?
No.
No, but who was the guy that had the extra padded hat?
That was the guy. He pitched for the Mets. He was a relief pitcher.
Because he got struck in the head so many times he had to wear the extra padded hat.
No, he asked to wear the extra because he was sick and tired of having concussions.
I
can't think of his name. I know who exactly you're talking about, and I can actually picture it. It looked like a giant. It looked like a goofy hat. It looked like a prop hat.
Yeah, like a cushion.
Yeah, it looked like a big pillow. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I can't think of his name, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
After
he pitched for the Mets briefly.
After three, they're no longer concussions. They're funcussions.
You know, anytime you get, for every three concussions, the next one's free. And that comes with brain damage.
All right.
I mean, just got over a concussion.
Yeah.
Who, you?
Last week we were talking about the Braves and Mets, right?
We'll get to the Mets in a little bit, yes.
With the Alonso thing and all that. The thing is, like, I saw the bean. It was a curveball that got away from Kimbrel, and the first thing he did was look concerned. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, and it's crazy because how us and the Mets are supposed to be more bitter rivals, we at least have respect with that. I mean, even after Brigham nailed Turner right in the small of the back, there wasn't any craziness. And that was not a receipt because it was a curveball that got away from Kimbrel. You could see it when he threw it.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like there was – this was before all our time. There was a guy that was a Red Sox superstar. Tony – was it Cigliero, I think his name is, or something?
I don't know. I quit caring at Red Sox.
But no, but when you hear what I got to say, it's like he was a 23 or 24-year-old rookie all-star. He got drilled in the eye at 24, was retired by 26.
Oh, my God.
I could be off with the years, but if you ever saw the movie Fever Pitch?
Yeah.
Remember when Jimmy Fallon's walking and you see the guy with the big goose egg on his eye? As he's going to take a shower, that's the guy I'm talking about.
Did you just get me to admit that I watched that movie?
No, but I mean, in all seriousness, it's like some wild pitches. I mean, one wild pitch can end a career.
It happens, man. That's part of the risk of the game.
Right, and that's what I was trying to prove with that thing. Not saying anything good or bad or positive about the Red Sox. I'm just saying. This kid supposedly was going to be like the next Ted Williams or something. Red Sox fans were like salivating over what this kid could do. He gets a shot to the eye, career's over in his 20s.
Wasn't that also like one of the precursors to why they actually wear helmets now?
I think you might be right too. Yeah, that might have been when they were still using just regular hats.
Yeah, either regular hats or they were using the kitty helmets that, like they say, were batting helmets now, but they really weren't shit.
I mean, for God's sake,
the replicates.
For God's sake, the coaches wear helmets at the end of the thing.
Yeah.
All the coaches wear first and third base coaches wear helmets now.
They wear helmets like mouth guards and shit. God damn, buddy.
The only person I ever saw get hit drilled by at third base was during the All-Star game was Lasorda got hit and he did a backflip almost.
Hell.
Remember that? Did you guys ever see that video?
Yeah, I saw
an All-Star game, he gets hit and he waddles back, falls over and almost does a complete somersault.
I seen a guy get hit by a foul ball, but that was like in the groin.
I remember when Chapman got hit in the face in spring training about 8 or 9 years ago, and the game, they actually stopped the game because of his injury. His face was so mangled by a ball coming off the bat at 110, 111 miles an hour, drilled him right in the face. But
yeah,
to his credit, he came back and pitched a month or two later, he was back out there. But still.
Dang it.
I've seen some dangerous hitters. I mean, some pitchers get drilled. Like, there's one with the Marlins. This guy named Jennings. I forget his first name. Got hit by a ball off the bat. I think it was Tommy Pham, actually. I think he was with the Cardinals at the time. And he got hit where he got off, took his hat off, came for the ball and was just standing there. And Saul Tolomachia came out and held him. And he's like, the look on his face is like the old adage, the porch lights were on, but no one was home.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. And the ball was, like, right in front of him.
Right, and he was like, and you saw the look on his face like he's like, I'm okay. Where am I?
Oh, who was that kid that fucking ran into the outfield wall and, like, knocked himself the fuck out?
You gotta be a little more specific there.
Yeah, that's happened a lot, though.
No, this was
maybe. Maybe batters need to start rushing the mound again, because it seems like when batters got hit by pitches in that era when they were rushing the mound, they weren't that bad. But, like, nowadays, if you don't rush them out anymore, guys are getting drilled.
Well, I mean, we don't have Nolan Ryan up there kicking ass anymore.
I remember when Nolan Ryan got drilled. Robinson Ventura. Ventura almost went out there, and Ryan almost kicked his ass.
Robin Ventura, yeah. Oh, my God.
And Ventura's like, yeah, I'm going to take you on, Nolan. And Nolan's like, yeah, my 45-year-old ass ain't getting hit by you.
Who was the comic that said? Was it George Carlin? It's like, I think it was like they rushed him out and they always dropped the bat. I'm like, why drop the bat? With me.
And the Mets are losing again. What a shock.
No, I just remember that comic stand. It was Carlin.
Carlin said a lot of jokes about baseball.
I don't want to say I told you so, but I will say.
It was like guy hits by a pitch. First thing he does is throw down the bat and rush him out. Like, I take the bat with me.
Hey, a major league player got in trouble, and Jose Offerman actually got in trouble for that. He threw the bat at the pitcher.
Yeah, but his daughter's got such a fine ass.
And Bray Wyatt's tapping it, so what else is there?
He's married to it.
Well, I didn't say anything about marriage. I said he's tapping it.
He's married to that ass.
He's tapping that ass.
Well,
that
I mean,
ass
there is a way to get
already.
Back at the pitcher. Like,
she's seen his little fiend.
You swing, let that bat go, like, oops, sorry. And that
I can't believe
goes
you
can
the most obvious Bray Wyatt joke
What, the little fiend?
That ass, let him in.
I had that in the back of my head, but I said, nah, I can't. That's too low-hanging fruit on that one.
Low-hanging fruit's better than chicken.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We are whooping the Cubbies.
All right. I know John wants to get into this. Let's get into the.
Did you watch
Mets.
It? Did you watch the video or no?
It's all business talk.
But you know what? All right. Go ahead. Lead it in, and then for people who don't know what we're talking about.
So Steve Cohen had a press conference where every time people were asking him questions, he was. Being he was being the business, more of the business side of what it is. Pretty much saying also to prepare all, the Mets need to improve, as well as that they're not out of, it's not a lost cause yet, but it's getting late.
Oh, fire sale?
No, he actually said, I think somebody asked him a question, and the words were, I'm not going to be adding anything. Which means, come trade deadline, the Mets are going to do either be sellers, or they're not going to do a damn thing. That's the impression that I got.
But here's the thing. I'm going to say this, too. Who would you give up for trades? Because they're going to want Mauricio. They're going to want... top guys. You're not going to get rid of your top prospects.
No, but they're going to do what they did with Eduardo Escobar. What he did, which is actually, I've heard he'd be willing to do this. If he's because when he traded Escobar to the Angels, prospects he got who actually won might need Tommy John, but we won't discuss that. The kid, the Crow kid, might need Tommy John, but because he hasn't pitched in 2 months. But he paid off Escobar's. He sent the rest of Escobar's contract in cash to the Angels, so the Angels don't have to pay for nothing.
Well, yeah, it's only a year though, so it's not like...
No. He had. I looked into his contract. He had an option for 2024. So they could, the Angels could pick up his option at if the Angels pick up his option at the end of the season, they'd be responsible for the pickup option, not the Mets.
Well, yeah, it's a team option.
It's a team option. So if they want to keep him again for one more year, they pay him. This year, Cone paid Escobar's contract. So he basically gave them Escobar, but we got two 19th and 20th overall team level prospect from the Angels. That's why we got such a high return. He's willing to eat cash to get a better return. And from what I've been hearing, Max would actually waive his no trade if the Mets can't get their shit together.
So Scherzer wants out.
He didn't say that. He said if the Mets were not into it and they offered him a trade, he would consider it.
Depends on where.
It depends on where. Like, there was two teams that I saw mentioned. I heard Arizona and Ryan. I heard a rumbling that it was your team. I don't know who you guys got in your minor leagues.
There have been a few rumblings with my team, and I mean, they're not really good.
I mean, if you were given the chance to get Max Scherzer, would you take him?
It depends on what I'd have to give up to get him.
Especially if Steve Cohen was willing to eat a majority of that contract, and you're getting him for nothing, you're going to have to give up a lot.
That's
you're going to give up three or four players from your, and I'm not talking about single A, double A guys. You're going to give up triple A, major league ready almost level.
You ain't giving up three players. It's two players.
You'd get for
Stop.
Max. You'd get. I think for Max, you'd get three
for 1 year. No.
No, you're going to get two and one.
He's got an extra. Now he's got another. He's got a buyout option. He's got a year, a player option.
Yeah,
on his contract.
And if he thinks he can do it, he's going to opt out and get more money. It's a 1 year. It's a half a season year. In reality, so that's how you have to treat the trade.
But the thing that I took away from this, and I'm sad Christian's not here because I want to actually use the Yankees as an example in this when. Yankees or even in football, and you guys could, because I know you guys know more about football statistics and all that stuff. I just enjoy watching the game. If you have a team that is so bad, that's playing not as close to the potential of what they should be doing, the first thing ownership usually does is either trade somebody of value, fire somebody in the upper office, or fire somebody field level to send a message, to shake things up, to possibly get, you know, to light a fire under everybody's ass.
I think it depends on, well, first off, how injury-riddled your squad. Because injuries will... Especially if your team is like injured like crazy, like say the Eagles were a couple of years ago, they buy you a year.
But here's the thing. Now here's the thing, and they brought this up during their press conference. His own words are coming back to still bite him in the ass because he said he'd like to win in the next 3 to 5 years, and this is year three already. And when they asked that question, he had this look on his face like, Jesus Christ, I shouldn't open my mouth with that one.
But again, that's like the fucking Twitterverse. Who the fuck cares? It's not been 5 years yet, people. Let the man cook.
I know, but the thing what I'm trying to make, the point I'm trying to make is, I've seen the Yankees fire managers to fire up teams. I've seen football teams fire coaches to fire up a team. I've seen basketball coaches get fired to fire up a team. I've seen top-notch players get traded from teams in any different sport to fire a team up. I know during the press conference he says he doesn't want to do anything drastic.
So Steve Cohen basically Charlie Weiss himself at Notre Dame.
Weiss is like,
you are who you are. You are what your record is. You are what your record is. And I think in a couple of years, we'll have a chance to win a national title. A couple of years went by, we were worse. Thanks, Charlie.
But the thing what I was expecting out of Cohen is, like, was I expecting somebody to be fired? I was curious if Epler or Buck were going to go. Because that's been rumored the last 24 hours, ever since they announced that Cohen was going to be doing a presser. Everybody was saying, oh, Billy's gone. Oh, Puck's gone. Oh, both are going to be gone.
Like I said, I think it depends on injuries. And if you win a title, I mean, if you win a title, there's a five-year grace period right there.
But
if you win a title, like...
But the thing is, what I was expecting out of Cohen was a little more fire in the belly than what I saw. What I saw was just it looked like a Mets guy sitting in the crowd, sitting there nice with his little fleece New York Mets hoodie, his little Mets hat that he looked like he just got out of the gift shop before he came out to the presser. You know, I mean, it's like, show a little fire, show a little spit and vinegar, show a little something. Show the fan base that you actually give a damn. I'm sorry. I know what you're going to say, Ronnie, but to me, he didn't show.
Cohen is not Steinbrenner.
I'm not saying he had to be Steinbrenner.
But you're saying exactly what George would do. You're saying what Cohen exactly what George should have done. George is not Cohen, and Cohen is not George.
Well, there's never going to be a guy like George. But I'm just saying. But what I'm trying, the point I'm trying to make is, like, send a message, you know, let the fans see it in your face that you're genuinely upset about that. I didn't get the feeling that he was upset about it. Everybody else, Evan Roberts was saying, oh, he looked upset. How can you tell? I've seen a bunch of interviews with Cohen. He looks the same in every interview. He sounds the same in every interview. He's the most docile owner I've ever seen in any major league sport in the world.
He's come out and spent $360 million to win, and the team's not gelling. He's a businessman. What do you expect? He's not a baseball guy first.
And it shows. Oh, it shows.
All right. So instead of the fire and brash nature Cohen knows, he basically became a Mets fan? Dejected, depressed, like knowing shit's gonna go bad.
Pretty much.
Damn!
No, here's the thing, Chris.
Chris, go to YouTube and look up the SNY channel. It's 22 minutes. Watch the video.
Guys want to get rid of Scherzer? We will give you Aaron Nola, Billy Falter, and fucking Jeff Hoffman or whatever.
Fuck you. If you're going to give us Nola, you better fucking add a contract to him. We're not giving you Scherzer for a rental.
And you know who I would want, believe it or not, off of that team? I want that center field kid. I want Marsh.
I just want Nola gone.
I want Marsh. That kid's got some fire in him.
I turned on the game and saw Nola give up a homer to Dansby Swanson. I'm like, yep, it's Nola.
But you know what? Here's the thing, too. And it's like, I have a feeling that I could name five Mets, right? I joked with Ronnie a couple of weeks ago. I said, there's five Mets that I don't think are going to be around. And one of those guys was Escobar. Was it not?
Because Escobar had to go because you had to make room for Beatty.
Escobar was going to go. I said was going to go. I think Vogelback's going to go. Canna's going to go. Marte's going to go. And I think those are, there's no pitchers are going to go because they need every available pitcher they can get their hands on. For God's sake, they brought up that kid that they got from the White Sox, Danny Mendick, to be like their all-around go-to guy. After he replaced Escobar once they traded Escobar. But before July or August 1st, mark my words, one of those four guys, if not all four of those guys, are going to be gone if the Mets can't turn this shit around. Because the Yankees have already been linked to Marte. The Yankees wouldn't mind having him to replace Judge. And Marte's only going to make he's making $30 million over the next 2 years. So he's not an expensive guy. Because the Yankees have insurance on Judge. You know they ain't paying Judge his big-ass contract. So the Yankees are saving themselves, close to $40 million for Judge this year if he don't play? I think with the AAV, it was like around $40 million or something.
So there's something I'd like to address, and it's something that I called, and I feel like we're close enough to the All-Star break to do it.
Okay, go ahead.
The Mets are crumbling.
Oh, I could have told you that.
And I just want to say, I called this shit, and I even called it was going to be before the fucking All-Star break.
Oh, you called it, and
I'll do you one better. During when we did our preseason stuff, like who's going to be in the playoffs, who's going to be this, who's going to be that, I bet you every one of you motherfuckers thought I was going to say the Mets are going to go everywhere. And what did I say? No. Because they don't, I think I said they just don't have something.
None of us took the Mets to win the World Series.
None of us took, I didn't take the Mets to even make the playoffs. You think they're going to, you thought they were going to make the playoffs. I didn't even venture that because when Diaz got hurt, that was the precursor to everything else. That was the first domino to
play. Oh, yeah.
We were behind the eight ball before the season even fucking started. In spring training, we were already behind the eight ball because our closer went down. And then the first week, Verlander went down. Then the whole shit with Max and the suspension went down. Then Alonso got hurt. Then this guy got hurt. And it's like it was a domino effect.
It sounds like Max needs to be better prepared.
No,
I mean, look,
just,
I can't really say shit.
Yeah, I was just about to say, bro, look, no disrespect. Your team is just as much in the shitter as mine is.
His team can still make the playoffs. His team can win the division.
I wasn't going to say it. I wasn't going to say it.
Team is seven back.
But the point I'm trying to make is his team is no better than ours right now, you know, personnel-wise, because nobody on the team is performing. Which is what we're going through.
Hey, Ryan, maybe you should send the team some clap cleats.
Oh, totally. You know you can't clap cheeks without clap cleats.
Sponsor us. But it's like I just walked away from that presser today after I watched it. I'm like, I'm not angry. I'm not sad. I'm not even indifferent with this team anymore. Because I've come to the realization, being a Mets fan for as long as I have, disappointment is a friend of mine.
So you weren't whelmed. You were underwhelmed?
I wasn't any kind of whelmed with this team.
Can you just be whelmed?
Nope.
Be swooned.
Damn.
But you know what it is, too, and it's like, I always joke, I joked on Twitter, and I have a bunch of Mets fans that are following me on Twitter and stuff. They all said the same, they all messaged back or said something back. I'm like, When they start, when the Mets started this swoon, I go, when is football season start? And a lot of them say, yeah, late September.
I know.
Preseason starts in August.
I couldn't believe what I was watching on Sunday with Brigham. I was like, what the fuck?
That Philly series, I was dreading coming on because I was worried that you were going to throw sand. You were going to kick so much sand in my face that you were going to piss me off royally.
No,
surprisingly, you haven't because you know how pathetic my team is.
Chris, make the sand in the ass crack situation.
I mean, when I saw Alonso get hit by Kimball, I was like, oh, shit. And then Kimball was like, he tipped his cap, was like, you know, he's like, you can see a mouth, I'm sorry. And you're like, all right, cool. Brigham, I just don't know what happened because I was watching that game, like, we suck, we're going to lose this. And then Brigham just, like, imploded. I was
Chris,
I said, holy Noah.
Let me give you a little background on Mr. Brigham. Let me give you a little backstory on him. In the offseason, we traded a AA/AAA center fielder named Jake Magnum. Great name, I know. To the Florida Marlins for him and Eisenor. I can't forget it. Some Eisenor Hernandez.
Not gonna work here anymore.
Let me put it to you this way. Hernandez hasn't thrown a pitch in the major leagues, and Brigham started the year in AAA.
At least he started the year.
Let me put it to you this way. If the bullpen wasn't decimated, he wouldn't have been even up. We basically traded one minor leaguer for two minor leaguers. And one of those minor leaguers just happened to get called into duty. And that's why he was with the Marlins last year. He spent half the season with the Marlins, half the season in AAA. Because his stuff was very erratic. He was very wild. And it shows. He's had glimpses like, okay, he might be something. Okay, one game he'll pitch good, then he'll follow up with three bad appearances. And if you notice, I'm not yelling and I'm not screaming because I've come to the realization this team ain't going anywhere this year.
I mean, I was shocked that like they let it continue. I'm like, he walked the bases, voted, and then he beamed in runs. I'm like, dude, I would take him out.
That's done.
But you know what? There's a reason why that happened, and that's because the bullpen was shorthanded. Because of Drew Smith getting suspended for thickest hand I've ever seen in baseball ejection 10 days before that. And he was due to come off the restricted list that following Monday. I didn't realize this rule. When a player gets suspended, either a starting pitcher or a bullpen guy, you can't replace him on the roster. That's also a penalty. The player gets fined, he gets suspended 10 days, and the team can't bring up an extra arm to replace him. So our bullpen was one short because Smith wasn't there. And Brigham, Ottavino, Robertson, Brooks Raley, and Joe Schmo from Kokomo, the other relievers they got out there, which I can't even remember half their names because they change them every week like their underwear, that there's never any, you don't know who the hell they're going to put in the bullpen. They had a guy pitching today, Grant Hartwig. This guy last year was going to be going to medical school until the Mets called him and offered him a minor league contract.
You can probably make more.
Probably make more as a fucking doctor than he's going to make in this fucking, for this team.
I seriously hope Jake Magnum actually makes it. But that name is so amazing. Oh, my God.
It's like willpower.
I would like to address a current Cardinals rumor. And this one will involve a conversation with Chris.
Uh-oh.
Because there have been rumblings that I hope to God are true of the possibility of Goldie going to Philly.
I've heard that rumor.
If we lose Goldie, Aaron Idle is gone, period.
Wait, wait, wait. Paul Goldschmidt?
Coming to Philly.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Because you know why? He's on his final year of his contract, and he's only making $22 million.
I think Chris just had a fucking orgasm.
I think he did, too. You all right, buddy?
Chris just had a re-orgasm.
Do we need one towel or two?
I just jizzed in my
face. That's a four toweler, I think, right there.
I don't know, man. That got me high-pitched.
I'm wondering, is Paul Goldschmidt friends with Bryce Harper?
How the way? No, we're not his friends.
I love the way the gear is turning. He's like, all right, we get Goldschmidt. Can we get Harper, too?
Why is he friends with Turner?
Again, who do we know who these motherfuckers are friends with off the field?
I mean, come on. Mike Trout at least has been to more NFL playoff games than MLB playoff games.
Hey,
because he's always out of work in October.
I mean, that's how Harper drew Castellanos and drew Schwarber. And then in John Turner.
Drew, did you just call him Drew Schwarber?
And that's why JT Romuto.
His name is Kyle, not Drew.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I said Schwarber. I said Schwarber.
You called him Drew Schwarber.
He said Drew Schwarber.
He said Drew Schwarber.
I heard that loud and clear.
Dead, and that's how we drew Schwarber. Like, he drew him there. You know what I mean?
Is he gone in his fucking father's jacket?
Who?
Fucking, oh, God damn it. Jungle Boy.
Did he finally turn heel?
Yeah, he turned heel at Forbidden Backdoor.
He beat up Hook.
Yeah, Taz.
Who the WWE wants badly.
And Taz wanted to beat the shit out of him. I love that.
No, Taz actually told him to go. Taz wants him to go there.
Well, yeah.
At least he knows his kid will be safe in the ring.
Yeah, that's true.
Ooh, holy shit. Did you guys see the media film?
Yes.
That fucking terrible Jericho promo.
Yeah.
I've seen better acting in porn.
Jesus Christ.
Dear Alexa, play Air Supply.
I'm watching it, and Ruby just beat the shit out of
No, it's on Twitter. On Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Dear Alexa, play Air Supply.
Like Tony Khan's sitting there smiling like a fucking doofus through the whole thing.
I mean, the motherfucker's probably snorting cocaine before.
Allegedly.
Oh, I don't even know if that's not allegedly anymore.
I said that last week, and you said allegedly.
You can look at Sting and see him getting pissed off over the bat being gimmick infringement.
Oh yeah.
And
I mean, it's funny.
Happy to be here.
I mean, it's funny if we do get Goldie because Goldie was teammates with Turner, Schwarber.
Yeah.
You know, on Team USA. I mean.
He'd be a big pickup for you guys.
Yeah,
really
because
would.
Rhys Hoskins is out for the year, and you guys are basically be doing patchwork at first base.
Oh, dude, that'd be it's a massive pickup because even if Hoskins come back, Hoskins could either be a DH or we put him in the outfield.
Yeah, you're not going to pull Goldie off there.
Goldie has a better glove anyway.
But here's the thing, because I heard that rumor too.
Yeah, isn't like trick stuff.
I mean, getting Goldschmidt would be a coup for any team because he's inexpensive and he'd be a rental because he's a free agent at the end of the year. Yeah. Arenado, you'd still have to pay three or four more years.
Arenado, they're not going to make a deal for Arenado. If they trade Goldschmidt, Arenado will demand his release.
No, he'll demand a trade. Because he has no trade.
He'll demand a trade and he'll leave. The other rumor, I believe, included, like, Flaherty and DeJong and somebody else to New York.
Ooh.
Number
Flaherty as well.
Then it would be, like, a
Well, the thing is, like, Goldschmidt definitely is affordable, and he would really fill our hole at first base. So.
And then possibly a trade with the Yankees.
By the way, where is Christian?
That would net us three pitching prospects, number 6, 7, and 12.
Might have taken the night off.
Because right now, I mean, we have first base by committee. Like, we were hoping Cody Clemens would be the guy, but it's by committee.
But you know what? Cody Clemens, from the few times that the Mets played the Phillies, Clemens has actually made some pretty good plays at first base.
Oh,
he's not a bad athlete, but I still think he's finding himself. That's the problem. Detroit wasn't going to play him. That's why they moved him to Philly, because they knew Philly was going to need a guy that could play all the infield positions. I think that's what he does. I think he can play first and third, I think. Or first and second. I forget what he could play, but I know he could play more than one infield position, but
I mean,
that would...
Guy, I mean, we have guys interchangeable. I mean, Stott's interchangeable, but he's not first base. I mean, Castellanos could play first. Schwarber could play first. I mean,
fuck, I saw Bohm played first during one of the Met games. Bohm was playing first.
Oh, yeah, Bohm did. Yeah, Bohm definitely did, because they had Sosa. Yeah.
But it's like, I would almost, as much as it would pain me to say, because you know how I feel about the Phillies as a team, if you were to get Goldschmidt, I'd pencil you guys in for almost a division shot with Atlanta, because that would up your team so much. You guys would bypass the Marlins, and it would be Philly and Atlanta going for the top spot. Because Atlanta, I have a feeling Atlanta's got a bad run in them coming up. They've had far too much good luck. They're due for a fall very soon, I have a feeling.
That was Song just pitched an immaculate inning in Clearwater.
I came
across ESPN. Prospect Noah Song pitched an immaculate inning, first since 2019.
Nice. I'm watching the draft.
What draft?
Hockey.
Oh, the MLB hockey draft is next week.
Yeah, and by the way, that kid you were talking about ain't going number one.
Why? Because he hits and pitches?
No, because the kid at LSU was going number one because he's a fucking beast.
What? Which kid?
Yeah. Fuck. What the hell is his last name? Steiger?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I saw him during the combine. He was hitting missiles, too.
He wasn't hitting. He's a pitcher, and...
Oh, no, I'm thinking of somebody else.
This dude is a fucking beast, pitched... So LSU won... Next story. We'll move on. LSU won the NCAA tournament in Omaha!
Yeah, LSU got mad. Florida forced a game 3. They were like, fuck you.
Yeah. And then Sneed. That's the guy's last name. Sneed
yes.
was named the MVP of the baseball of the College World Series. The dude did not pitch one game in the final series, but he, how to describe this, pitched in 2 days 210 pitches.
Hello, Tommy John.
Nope, because he doesn't top in. He tops in at 99 miles an hour. He is not a gun. He is not a gas thrower. He is a
99 is not a gas thrower. What do you have to be a gas thrower to throw 100?
When everyone in Major League is fucking throwing 101, 105, like fucking 102, throwing 99, and it's like he's also too. His changeup fucking, dude, his freaking pitching is ridiculous.
I remember that now that you said the names are starting to rumble towards you, because it has been a while since I watched that. But no, it's, but you did see that kid I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, but Steen's name, most valuable player, here we go. 18 Skeens did not pitch any of the games in the finals. Tigers, the right-hander, struck out 12 in 7 2/3 innings against Tennessee earlier in the tournament with a tremendous regular season where he went 12-2, struck out 209 in 122 2/3 innings for his last year.
I mean,
this kid's going to the Pirates.
Oh, more than likely. Oh, more than almost. I would definitely say that.
And Harrison tried to dive, missed it. Tossianos looked at my motherfucker.
And then his teammate is going number two.
But it's like, I forget who's got the number two pick in the draft. I know it was Washington. I think it was Washington, I think. He's got the second pick, I think. I forget the draft order, but I know the Pirates had the first pick. I know that.
Fuck, it's the Nola Fest.
Because the Mets, I know, don't have a pick in the first round this year.
Nets, then the Tigers, then the Rangers.
Yeah, so I thought it was the Nationals. If it was drafted this year, the Oakland A's would have the first fucking pick. And they're going to have the first pick next year, too.
Nice knuckle. Shit. Sorry.
Mets do have
a compensatory pick.
They got the 32nd.
Yeah, but that's, you're basically scraping the bottom of the barrel at that point. You know, you're not going to get anybody of magnitude in that thing. And I'll tell you one thing, what the Mets better fucking do, they better draft a shit ton of pitchers. Because they're going to need a shit ton of pitchers. Because that's one thing the team is in desperate need of. Their farm pitching is decimated.
He's strong! Sorry.
I'll tell you, whose career might be done too, Ronnie? Matthew Allen.
I hate him.
Okay, I guess I wasn't talking.
No, I'm listening.
No, Allen, he hasn't thrown a pitch, and he probably will not throw a pitch this year. And they don't know about his arm for next year. And he was supposed to be the next great godsend, or the next phenom. That fucking label again.
A good label. Or,
no, that label could be a death knell for a person. Unless it's wrestling, that's a different story.
Right.
No, Allen was supposed to be our next. He was supposed, the way that, when he first started with the team, let me put you this way. When they say that, what do you call that for the majors? What do you call that? Those three letters. Date to arrive. It was 2024. He hasn't even made AAA yet because he never got past AA because of all the arm injuries. He's going to be another, if he does make it, he's going to be another Stephen fucking Matz. He spent 7 or 8 years in the fucking minors before they bring him up. He'll be 27 or 28 years old by the time they bring him up. If he even comes up at that point. And that's the other thing, Uncle Teacher or whatever, Mr. Stevie today, saying, he goes, our minor league pitching is, he didn't say these words, but I could read between, it's the drizzling shits. We have no pitching prospects in any way, shape, or form in the minors. Nobody. At least starting pitching, anyway. There's nobody even close to being ready.
I mean,
so that's one thing I want to see the Mets select. Pitcher, pitcher, pitcher. I don't want to hear, oh, we select shortstop or second baseman or third baseman or catcher. Positions you don't need to fucking fill right now or don't need to fill in the future. That's why there's Mauricio and Vientos are still in the fucking minors, because they were both third basemen when you drafted them.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But no, like I said, when it comes to the Mets, or not the Mets, when it comes to the draft, you're going to get the College World Series is over, and oh God, was that fun.
Dude, I am starting to like college baseball a whole lot more.
If it's on, I'll watch it. But the one thing I will say, and the last thing I'm going to say about the Mets, and then we're going to move on. This is the only chance Billy Epler has a chance to redeem himself, is if he drafts the right players to fill this farm system up with top-notch pitching prospects that are going to be the next future of this team. That's the only way he's going to redeem himself, because if he fucks this draft up, the other thing Cohen said, Billy Epler and Buck Showalter's jobs are safe for this year. I don't mean at the end of the season, if they tank, Buck, see ya, Billy,
yeah.
Bye. He said they're safe for this year, but he didn't say going forward. I did hear him say that. But this is his chance to redeem himself, because the GM is the one who makes the draft. You better not fuck this draft up, Epler. Or you're going to find your ass back in Anaheim.
You're so angry.
No, it's you know what it is? It's not so much anger. It's just, it's frustration. When everybody and their mother was saying, oh, the Mets are going to be this, the Mets are going to be that. I never came out and said the Mets are going to be the most dominating force this year. Did I say that? No.
No one on this show said that.
I'm not saying anybody here. I'm saying the consensus of the fan base. We're like, oh, we got two former Cy Youngs, one and two. We're going to be this, and this. They're losing to the Brewers 5-2 right now.
You're listening to Twitter. Twitter's
no, I'm not. I'm not listening
Twitter?
To a lot of these. A lot of these things that I was going to say before you said that. I was listening to radio hosts, MLB Network, all these other TV and the network things. PN said it. Fucking MLB Network said it. The Mets, on paper, are the most dominating force that are going to, a lot of teams are going to contend, and it's probably going to be, a lot of people said, especially on MLB Network, I remember Pedro said it, it's going to be between the Mets and the Braves all year. Nobody else has the qualification. Well, guess fucking what? It's June and almost July, and the Marlins are still fucking in it. The Phillies are still fucking in it, and the Braves are still in it. Where the Mets? If the Nationals weren't in this league, the Mets would be in last fucking place. The Nationals are worse than the Mets, and that's saying something.
And what? But here's the thing: to spin off of what you just said, what does every radio host, baseball, TV host, and shit, even with us, what do they all have in common?
It's all opinions.
And they all want ratings.
I know, but...
And also, you're talking about radio hosts. We live in fucking the Northeast. Of course they're going to say the Mets are the fucking best. You look at ESPN. Where are they based out of? Connecticut. Of course they're going to say the fucking Mets and Yankees are going to do the best. You look at 90% of the, it's not, and if it's California, they were going to see the Dodgers. It's, but, and if it's St. Louis, of course, they're going to see the Cardinals. It's Regency bias. Baseball is not a worldwide sport. As much as anyone doesn't want to say, it's not a worldwide sport. It is a local sport.
But yet we have a thing called the World Series.
Because they don't have any teams, but yet they want to play the World Baseball Classic. Maybe that should be the World Series now.
All I know is, Chris, did you find that? Did you hear who's going to play in London next year? Chris.
I think he's watching the game. Yes, yeah, the Mets
and Philly. Oh, you're watching Nola fucking fuck this shit up.
It's the Mets and Philly.
The Mets and the Phillies are playing in London next year.
Yeah, yeah, they are.
That should be entertaining.
Sorry. Sorry, no, it's the Nola fifth. It's the Aaron Nola fifth. Of course you walk the bases fucking loaded. And now we got to God, at least Nola got third out. Fucking Christ.
But anyway, but no, that's the last thing I got to say. So what else is on the agenda for tonight? So I'm done with the Mets. I'm done talking about them.
After an hour and a half of talking baseball.
Well, there's nothing else really happening.
Well, they just dropped the, so NCAA just dropped the punishments for athletes who violate gambling rules in college, which is very interesting. So if you were caught in gambling in any way, student-athletes who engage and influence the outcome of games will be involved prosecuting information and individuals. Betting will face permanent loss of collegiate eligibility. So you're kicked out of school if you get caught determining the outcome of the games, which is actually a federal crime, which is called point shaving.
God damn it. Come on.
Student-athletes, here we go. Student-athletes who bet on their own sport but not involving their own school will lose 50% of one season.
I swear to God, they would have fucked that up. I would have fucking, oh. Sorry. Roger hit a pop-up. Five Phillies grounded. I'm like, no, call one. Call one. Please, God, call one. It almost looked like the Diamondback sink, where like the guy like, oh, yeah, I got it. No, I got it. And it collided.
Yeah. So, Chris, what I'm talking about is the gambling violations for NCAA.
Oh, yeah. Fun.
Student athletes, like I just said, student athletes that bet on their own sport but not involving their school, subject to 50% of their one season. All other wagering-related violations, cumulative dollar values of the wagers will be taken into consideration. Bets totaling 200 to 500, for example, results in 10% loss of the season, plus rules and prevention education. Bets totaling 800 could lose 30% in eligibility, plus rules and prevention education. Pretty much saying if you bet on sports, you can lose between 10 to your entire collegiate career. So if you bet on sports and you're playing football, well, then you are SOL, you are going to the XFL.
Don't bet. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Do
especially
not bet.
Especially in college.
College. Wait till you're done to play the gambler.
Now, the one thing I'll say about this is that college, you shouldn't, anyone bets, honestly, it shouldn't fucking matter. Pros, the one thing I don't like is that they couldn't bet on another sport during the season. I can totally understand that you...
Like the song says, know when to walk away.
Oh, yeah. Well,
know when to run.
I mean, that's just gambling in general.
Because if you're an athlete, collegiate athlete, do not bet. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Do not. If you want to gamble, go to Vegas and do it on cards. Don't bet on sports. Ugh.
It's interesting to see.
It's like the NFL rookie symposium. You're like, do not bet on NFL games. Duh.
Dummy.
And now there's a handful of players that are about to get suspended for the whole year because they're dumbasses.
Yeah.
Isaiah Rogers.
I mean, they're all about to get fucking dropped.
Dropped.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if... Yeah, go to the XFL where you can bet, you know, actually you can't bet as a player.
No,
maybe the U.S., though, because no one gives a shit.
No, yeah, let's go to Birmingham. Let's go to the Jersey Generals in Ohio.
Wait. Well, Birmingham actually does have a home field advantage this year, or this week, championship, because it's in Ohio.
Listen, if you bet on sports, the only thing you're going to be saying next is...
Hi, welcome to Chili's.
Hi, welcome to Chili's.
God, welcome to Chili's. My baby back.
Ribs. Chili's. Baby back ribs. Barbecue sauce. I mean, did someone say barbecue? Shut the fuck up.
Why?
That's this week in the USFL title game.
Oh, my God. I haven't seen that much sweat. No. Shut the fuck up, Joanna. And your mother can go fuck herself, too. She gave me crabs last week.
They beat the hell out of New Orleans, and you knew they would.
Oh, come on. Come on, sweetheart. You know Ivana wanted to fuck you. It's like me fucking Zion Williamson, but I didn't get pregnant from that whore.
Oh, my. Yes.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Why the fuck are we having a... Why are you here, Ivana?
I don't know. They just forced me in this room. I liked it a lot.
Oh, they forced you in a room. That's very nice. But the last time I checked, there's like a forced in you. It just slides in and slides out.
If only I was that lucky.
Oh, whatever you do, make sure you don't fart.
Quit telling secrets on the air, you dirty little whore.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Do you mind if we get back to what we were talking about? Well, we're not distracting you. Shut the fuck up and get back in your cage.
Oh, God, was she back?
Yeah, and her mother fucking decided to join us.
You're right.
I had to step away to take a mess real quick, so.
Yeah, yeah. Her mother also decided to join us.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Thank God I did that.
No, apparently her mother's still here.
Oh,
boy. Hey, Joe. How are you today?
Go fuck yourself.
You're so salty all the time. Why won't you talk to me, John?
Because Ronnie knows why, because your voice sounds eerily familiar, and if I hear that voice one more time, I'm going to start ripping people's throats out, like in Roadhouse.
I don't think we saw the same Roadhouse.
No, not Whorehouse, Roadhouse.
Why am I being called?
You're always so salty, John. I'm starting to like it.
Yourself.
The last time someone said something was salty, it was the back time in the back room of the club.
Dumb child.
Oh, what are you talking about? You were right next to me, too, bitch.
Yeah, but I walked.
Oh, the Blackhawks. Number one pick is at the fucking Cubs game.
Yeah, well, he just got picked and he ran right there probably because it's in Tennessee.
Gotta make yourself, gotta do the caveat, gotta do the crap, gotta do the photos, you know, gotta do the public appearances.
The ball.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'll show myself out.
Yeah, get the fuck back in your cage, Ivana.
You're so saucy, Ronnie.
Yeah, well, I had to deal with your fucking dumbass cuntilophagus of a daughter.
You're so salty and I don't like it.
Yeah, well, I had to deal with your daughter, so fuck off.
All right, I'll see you boys later. Bye, Chris.
And, ladies and gentlemen, that was Ivana and Joanna Snatch.
They're just terrible, terrible, terrible people.
You know, come to find out of it, though, come to find out, they have a daughter.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that's my question.
No. It's like, are you piecing out, or is this all a character act?
It's a shit.
Got that, like, weird, sexy talk, I tuned it out. So, yeah.
He thinks my voice is sexy? Shut the fuck up, Joanna! Go the fuck away!
No, as soon as Ryan got in the Spice Channel voice, I was like,
Spice Channel?
Tuned it out.
What year do you think this fucking is?
All you need is jazz behind it, you know.
What fucking year is this? We're gonna turn on the next and turn down the Michael Jackson.
Oh,
God. Oh, jeez. Yeah, and apparently, though, John, I mean, come on. Apparently, they have a daughter named Vagina Saunders. she married the Saunders class and is a loaded billionaire right now.
Well, you gotta get all breathy on the mic, which is really hard, because
I can't believe you fucking said the Spice Channel.
Gina.
I don't want to dance again.
We're just all fucking morons with computers at this point.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not noticed, there is no fucking sports news out there. We're having fun.
Dude. Wait, what? He's never going to dance again.
God, no, no.
He's got no rhythm.
Why the hell do you sound like you're a fucking a softcore porn channel from fucking Cinemax?
Cinemax.
Bring for that fucking hashtag.
Spice Channel, dude.
The Spice Channel.
This is not the late 1990s.
What are you talking about? Fucking Spice Channel. This is not Dashboard Confessionals.
Oh, God.
Taxi cab Confessionals. Sorry.
No, this is real sex from on HBO.
How about... there's no sports. How about we just talk Money in the Bank predictions and wrap it up?
Oh, we do have some predictions. And we have 15 minutes until time actually ends for us. We got CFL. And we'll do this quick.
CFL.
Prediction. Hamilton loses again.
Well, Hamilton's off. So they can't lose.
CFL sounds like an infection I had once.
Dude. But we're off, so we can't lose. We'll find a way. Trust me.
Ivana, why are you doing this?
Suck.
Don't say suck around Ivana.
All I heard was suck.
That's the problem.
Finally, Hamilton fans booed the damn Tiger Cats. They booed them out of the fucking building last week.
Sounds like that one time I went to the Home Depot.
Were you trying to build something for Vagina?
I was trying to build something for me.
That you were going to give to Vagina as a gift?
It was a she said.
Oh, fuck that, you... Fuck that, you dirty whore. You know you were just using that to fuck in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just, oh, God. Just Chris. Oh, God.
Right now.
All right, Money in the Bank is on Saturday at 3 o'clock.
Hold on. CFL picks. Let's do the CFL picks real quick. Because, like I said, get in your cage, Ivana!
I'm going.
You know what? Normally I would say get in your cage, but normally for you it would probably be get the fuck on the swing.
Dear sweet Jesus. Dear sweet baby Jesus.
The Elks play the Redbacks. The Redblacks. Redbacks. Wow.
Look out. Look who's talking about wording.
Phrasing.
Yeah.
All right. Who's playing Ottawa? Who's playing Ottawa here?
The Elks. It's going to be Ottawa wins.
Well, the Elks win because the Ottawa Redblacks are worse than the damn Ticats.
The Elks are worse than the worst team in the CFL.
No, that is Hamilton.
And it's away. With the Blue Bombers take on the Alouettes. Blue Bombers are favored by 6, which, you know, it's just like Whose Line Is It Anyway, where it's all made up and the points don't matter because you can win by a fucking rouge.
Where is it at? In Montreal?
Blue Bombers sounds like a fucking drug from the from the 70s. Yo, man, I got a bunch of Blue Bombers, man.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's in Montreal or Winnipeg?
It's in Montreal. Ladies and gentlemen, our 70s drug addict. Or Jerry Garcia.
I'm going to take the Alouettes.
Nah, give me the Blue Slammers. Blue Bombers. Give me the over, which is 48.5. There's going to be a lot of scoring and no defense.
They're playing with fire, Blue Bombers.
Nintendo power.
is it the Argos in BC then?
Yep. And BC is a 2.5-point favorite. This is in Toronto. Give me the over 47.5, and give me BC.
Yeah, I actually like the Crying Lions. They're really good this year.
You know, if anyone doesn't know what the CFL is, it's the semi-special Olympics of the NFL.
So if Hamilton's off, Calgary and Saskatchewan.
Well, no, actually, there's only 3 games this week.
My name's Jeffy, and I play CFL.
Yes, hi, Jeffy.
3 games?
3 games.
So only 6 teams are playing, huh?
Yep, because then next week Edmonton takes on Saskatchewan.
Ryan, did you steal that line from the Ruckin' Ringer?
Actually, Chris, Knoxville. You ready for this? Chris, you ready for this? They play July 6th. They play July 6th. They have a back-to-back. They have a Friday and a Thursday game.
God damn. What the fuck?
Okay.
No. Who plays back-to-back?
The Elks.
The Rough Riders?
No, the Elks.
Oh,
they got
Elks.
They got Ottawa, and then they turn right around less than a week, and they play to Saskatchewan.
All right, so they'll beat Ottawa and get murdered by the Rough Riders. Okay.
I mean, both are away, so who the fuck knows?
Oh, dude, they will get murdered in Saskatchewan because people actually watch the fucking shit there.
So, while we do that, there is one other thing I have to find the number for, because they don't have a number for it yet. But is the season to be gluttons? But while we're doing that, John, you got Money in the Bank?
I'll get it up, and I'll take care of that in a second. Hold on. All right,
I have a feeling we're going to get a three-way for the WWE Women's Universal title, I think it's called that.
Okay, so while you're doing that, it is the 4th of July week. By the time we do the next show, it's going to be past the 4th of July, which means everybody means one thing. It's time to eat a lot of salt, because it's hot dog eating contest.
I got the page when you're ready.
All right.
Thank you. I don't want to talk about Jaws anymore.
Well, no, because there is actually like I said, this is a betting show. Oh, come on. Because this is going to be...
All right, Joey Chestnut. There
we
go.
This is going to be too easy because Joey Chestnut's over-under is 73.5 hot dogs.
Under.
Over.
Been hitting 70 for a while.
The over is as a 105 dog. The under is minus 135.
Are we really talking this?
Hey, it's like I said, this is a tradition too, right? We've done this every year.
Oh,
Chris bitches every year.
Yeah, well, Chris doesn't.
No.
Yes.
No. Chris bitches because then afterward he's got to watch Cornhole.
The Ocho, baby!
And yes, I just used the phrase
Cornhole, baby.
But then yes, I just used the phrase hot dog and cornhole in one sentence.
And nobody came back.
We're leaving it at that.
Dude. That is so fucked up. Hot dog cornhole, man.
Welcome to the show. Did you just get the jokes now?
No. I even like somebody had a 2-point cornhole thing where it's like it was a dare where basically one of their teammates laid inside the cornhole thingy.
Chris, you need to stop talking.
Do it, Ryan. If he's going to keep doing it, you
can't stop talking.
One of the holes, their face was there. And the other hole was right on their balls.
All right, you open the door.
Open it. Yeah, you know.
Oh my God! Are we talking about cornholes,
dude? And the nut shot was 5 points.
The hole up here.
I tried to warn you, Chris, to shut up.
Time's gone.
Oh, dear sweet baby Jesus. Oh, Lord.
God damn it.
Calgon, take me away.
What are we talking about in here?
I think they don't want us here. Let's go get the cools out of the back of the car.
Hot dogs, lemonade, and cornhole. It's like misheard lyrics.
Chris, stop!
That sounds like something that happens in the back of a Mets bullpen.
It happens in the back of my Honda.
Your Hyundai.
You know what? I drive the Woody Wagon.
Because, I was listening to a song, and the funny thing is the guy's supposed to say everything bleeds, but when he screamed it, it sounds like everything beans.
Sometimes when you're taking it too hard, everything does bleed.
And trust me, she knows all.
He goes, everything bleeds. And people are like, beans? And there's another song where the guy...
Good morning, Vietnam!
Did you just say beans?
I swear, I don't know, I just swear the guy says she's great. He's like, she's greater. I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, normally you gotta pay extra for that.
Am I hungry for a burrito or something? I mean, like, I don't know, Ronnie, you might remember this song. It was by a band called Waking the Cadaver.
Read the chat!
I know how to wake a demon, all right.
I've been waking demons.
No. The song was called Chasing the Woods by a Rapist, but the lyric is supposed to say something else, but it sounds like you're saying, I like shredded.
They wrote a song about that one time I lived in Montreal in the 90s.
Like, boy, what's shredded? You know.
Oh, I'm gonna fucking die, bitch. Get the fuck back in your cage before I fucking kill you myself.
You can't put me back in the cage. You were talking about wieners and holes. I'm here.
Oh, no, hot dogs, lemonade, and cornhole.
Oh, good Jesus Christ.
Oh. I do love the hot dogs. I pretend that it's the New York Yankees.
You know what? Sometimes they come in and it's like a cyclone and just take over. Because normally I have to go to Coney Island and find all this shit.
Thank God Christian isn't
right,
here.
All right, money in the bank. Money in the bank. Let's go with money in the bank.
Money shots at the bank. Let's talk about it. It'll be a great discussion, Chris. Money shots in the bank. How many?
What the
fuck? Hey, Ivana, don't you have Vagina to go take care of?
Dude.
Go call Vagina Saunders.
Okay, I'll be back.
Get the fuck out of here.
All right,
lock the door. Lock the fucking door. God damn it. Why the fuck do we have to... Thank you very much.
Thank you, Miss
Lippy. Okay, let's go over this pay-per-view.
Yes.
Okay, finally. We got... I'm just going to go from 7-1. Gunther versus Matt Riddle for the IC title.
Gunther.
Riddle.
I say Riddle, too.
Gunther's not dropping the title, not Gunther! In England. Not in England.
WWE has a habit of making talent drop titles in their hometown.
Riddle's just going to get...
You got knocked the fuck out, man! Give me my goddamn...
No. Dude, they're building Riddle up. He's going to take Randy Orton's spot.
Yeah.
He's going to be the dude viper.
I think Gunther.
All right, next.
We got Ronda and Shayna versus Liv and Raquel for the tag titles.
She can't fucking wrestle. Get her the fuck out. It's going to be Shayna and Ronda. Fuck Liv Morgan.
This is a tough one, because... You think Shayna Ronda, but I could totally see Liv and Raquel going over just to prove the story to SummerSlam.
Yeah, that's what I'm going Liv and Raquel.
Yeah, Liv and Raquel winning.
Ha ha, very funny, motherfucker.
Next.
The Bloodline versus the Bloodline. Roman and Solo versus the Usos.
Ooh.
Ooh, so
they're getting very oozy. Oh yeah, it's gonna be a really
oozy night. Oh yeah, Oos is going over big time.
Solo join the Usos.
Not yet.
You're not getting anybody yet. No, Solo's gonna stay with Roman for a while.
I'm telling you, the end of the Bloodline is SummerSlam. I've been calling it SummerSlam the whole time.
And then Solo might be the one that goes after...
I think the end of the Bloodline is really Jay versus Roman. That's where it's going to end.
All right, but anyway. Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor for the World Heavyweight title.
Balor.
Balor.
I'm going to go with the upset. I'm going with Balor. Jaden McDonagh helps, and also it furthers the storyline. Again, money's in the chase.
How about Seth wins and Damian cashes in?
No, you know what? You know what this might be? This might be revenge for when Seth took the title off of Finn after Finn had a vacated after Finn got all fucked up because of the buckle bomb.
Well, I mean, I figured at some point he would.
There it is, John. Yes, there it is. I mean, I'm looking at that. They have that, and I'm like, wait a minute. And Finn's the heel in this.
Yep. Finn's taking it.
Because, I mean, he's going to get paid back. He never got a fair shake at being champion. And he's money as a champion.
Oh, definitely. And now he's got the more aggressive heel. He's not that play, you know, he's not that funny heel anymore. He's the more aggressive heel now.
Absolutely.
And that's an aggressive heel, Finn Balor. That's money all day long.
Oh, completely. That was when he was like Bullet Club like Fergal.
And then the match where somebody's going to get bitch slapped left, right, forwards, and backwards, Cody and Dominic. Cody all day.
Cody wins, but it's
Dominic's going to get a lesson in getting his ass whooped.
Dominic wins by Brock Lesnar.
Nah.
Dom wins by interference with Mommy and Brock.
There will
be fuckery. Or even Bray. Bray Wyatt is also rumored.
Cody wins.
So's Carlito been rumored too, but I doubt it.
Cody wins. Brock kicks his ass afterwards.
Okay, then we have the first of the two Money in the Banks, the ladies, Zelina versus Becky versus Zoe versus Bayley versus Iona Sky and Trish Stratus.
Io
Sky. I said it wrong, all right?
I got you, buddy.
Io wins.
Oh, Io's going over. She's going to become a face. She's going to become a face.
I don't know. I'd like to see Zelina win it.
It's either Io Sky or Zoe Stark.
No,
okay,
I think it's going to be
Sky and Io cashes in.
No, I think Io's going to take it because they've been building up a potential feud between Io and Bayley because that damage control is done because Dakota's out for the next year.
The thing is Chris, with the Zoe Stark one, is that it gets canceled out by Becky Lynch.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
with
that
Trish.
Would be
it's
a
same
hell
Trish.
Thing, but also, I think Io Sky cashes in on whoever wins the three-way, which is not announced, but it will be.
So, do you guys think Bayley got butt implants?
Who the fuck cares at this point? I'm not going to complain. She's Latina, too. Don't forget.
She's part of that world of New Donk City.
But it got noticeably bigger.
Either she's got some silicone in there or she's been doing her squats.
Her name is Pamela Rose Martinez. Do the math, dudes. Come on.
Hey, that's a stereotype, sir. You need to check that microaggression.
She got some junk in the trunk, but that's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, I'm going for Zelina.
I would like to see Zelina, but I think it's going to be Io.
A sentimental favorite is Zelina, but I think it's going to be Io.
In order for the LWO storyline to progress, there has to be advancement by somebody. Right now, they are a secondary stable.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Cash soon.
And then we have probably what's going to be the main event. Ricochet versus Nakamura versus, yeah, LA Knight. Santos Escobar, Butch, Damian Priest, and Logan Paul.
That's not going to be the main event. Your main event, that might be the opener, to be honest.
Yeah,
I think the ladies are going to open. I think the men are going to close it.
Nope, they won't close. It's going to be the Usos.
The ladies opened the last pay-per-view, so the guys should open this one.
And it makes sense because the Usos are going to be the final match.
The ladies open. I think the ladies open because I have feeling that Charlotte Asuka is not gonna happen.
Yeah, that's not listed here. That's not listed here, but I know that's probably on. I think that's on the card, but it's not listed.
No, it's Friday. That's on Friday. That match is on Friday, but then they're gonna Bianca's gonna get a disqualification, and that's probably gonna be a triple threat match.
Right. Yeah. And if that's the case,
Yo cashes in right after.
On Asuka?
I'd watch that.
On Asuka, Charlotte, or Bianca, whoever wins, getting cashed in on.
I would love to see an Asuka Io Sky match. That would be fucking money right there.
This money in the bank, this men's Money in the Bank match is lackluster, in my opinion.
I want LA Knight to win.
Doubt it.
Oh no, the crowd was
LA Knight or Damian Priest.
The crowd's been chanting for him like crazy.
Logan
the
Paul.
Crowd wants him. He's the crowd favorite.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Logan Paul's your winner.
No, I don't. Not
fuck
for a part-time
you.
Guy though. Too much of a part-time guy. He's not a full-time guy.
He signed an extension.
Yeah, but he's still not a full-time guy. He's got a Brock Lesnar schedule.
All right.
He's also coming
if
off
Logan
of a torn ACL.
Paul wins, that is a Vince call. If Logan Paul wins, that is a goddamn Vince McMahon call, and he will get booed out of the goddamn building.
If it's going to be anybody, it's going to be either LA Knight or Damian Priest.
Here's the thing.
I mean, I don't know if he's going to get booed out of the building. He's pretty popular and talented.
But hold on. Here's the one thing we're forgetting. The one thing that actually makes sense in that is that Logan Paul has a feud going with Seth.
Right.
God.
So that is the only reason I could actually see that actually making sense. I don't want it to happen.
The only thing I would love if Logan Paul did win would be the Judgment Day beats the shit out of him. I would love it.
He's got a pretty impressive match record with WWE. And I'm not just talking about wins and losses. I'm talking about the performances that he puts on. That's a deciding factor. He's going to bring eyes to the product. That's a deciding factor. He's not going to be WWE champion, but he might be a mid-card champion.
I'm sorry, Logan Paul just makes my fucking, ugh. Makes my butt sting.
What, all the way back to the Spice Channel?
The winner, like I said, for the men's, it's either LA Knight, Logan Paul, unfortunately, or
Damian Priest.
Priest.
Because Priest is supposed to be very well liked backstage.
Now, the other rumor I heard was that they might kick Finn out of Judgment Day, and that would be an interesting way to go if Priest wins and cashes it in on Finn.
On Finn? I don't see them breaking them up because...
I don't know. At that point, he could cash in and cost Finn and cash in.
Yeah, but there are rumors that they want to that Finn might get kicked out of the Judgment Day.
But then, what's the point of possibly bringing in McDonough?
McDonough's a harder version of the rumor was that McDonough would be a more sadistic version of Finn.
He would be a Finn with no club.
Yeah, a bullet with no club.
I don't think they're going to break up Judgment Day. I think they're going to add people. I don't think they're going to break them up. Because it would make no sense, especially. Well, also make no sense long-term storytelling-wise for Rhea to go to SmackDown and basically Warren Hayes was fucking with Finn and be like, you know, you involved yourself in Judgment Day's business. you would again, you become our business. Like basically saying, stay out.
Who knows?
Well, thing is, I've also been reading, too. I read that Bray Wyatt was supposed to possibly even join. I was like, what? Yeah. So who knows?
Yeah, Bray Wyatt, that whole thing is interesting.
I've been hearing rumblings about Bray Wyatt's ready to come back, but to do what and where and when?
Well, it won't be with Alexa.
The thing is, a heel Bray Wyatt with the Judgment Day could work. Could.
Could.
But, I don't know, I do like Judgment Day more as like a gang than, you know, a cult, so.
Dude, what the fuck is with this shit with AEW?
What?
I'm watching people play in the game, and someone's playing with Darby Allin, and literally you can ride the skateboard into the ring and out of the ring and stay on it.
You see, that's why I'm not so
it's
high
not
on this
a
game.
Wrestling game.
This game is a mix mishmash. It's not like a Raw. It's not like a 2K. It's a jokey game. It's
this
not
is
a.
No, this is no mercy.
Yeah.
They were never making a simulation. I don't know where people got the idea that
super,
this was going to be.
Yeah.
I don't know where the people got
it's
the idea.
Super Smash, no mercy.
I don't know where people got the idea that this was going to be a simulation. This was going to be an arcade-style game. This was No Mercy, WCW, NWO Revenge. It's made by Yuke's.
For God's sakes, there's a dance sequence in it.
It's
yeah.
made
oh.
by Yuke's.
Yeah.
It's made by the
yeah.
same people that made all the popular WWE games.
Put it this way, when it's on sale at Walmart for $9.99 or something, then I'll consider it.
Yeah, this
but
game
I'm not
is...
spending $40. I'm not spending $40 on this piece of trash. No way.
Oh, you don't want to do the Cerro Metal?
Honestly, the Battle Royale I might try.
Yeah, the online stadium stampede.
Yeah. 30-person, last man standing.
Yeah.
Sparkler death match.
That seems
Well, actually, what's funny about that is there's a 50-50 chance of either getting a monster explosion, but they also put in the fucking sparklers. So they're even poking fun at themselves.
3, 2, 1.
Yeah. They're saying there's a 50-50 shot that you either get sparklers or a big kaboom.
The only big kaboom is the low sales this game's going to have.
No, just wow. The game just came out. Actually, the game doesn't even come out until technically tomorrow.
I said what I said.
I think the Pentagon dance sequence, like, yeah.
I like the fact that it is literally it's literally what WWF No Mercy was.
What, dancing?
No, the game. Like, the gameplay, I'm actually watching it right now. It's the same type of formulaic system that WWF No Mercy had and WCW Revenge had.
They're blocky.
Not to mention the roster is so outdated, it's ridiculous.
You know what? They can always fudge. They can always fuck around with the roster later down the road because they're gonna do free updates and characters for years. They said they're not gonna make people pay for DLC.
Cody Rhodes. It's in the motherfucking game.
Well, dude, they went through so many different iterations of the roster. The people that were making it didn't know what fucking one to use.
No, Cody has been gone from AEW for a year and change.
Well, the one thing that I actually got an issue with...
And he's still in the motherfucking game.
The one thing that I got an issue with Well, he's technically, he's the owner of the fucking company. The one thing I got an issue with is the F5 in the game is called diverticulitis.
What I have an issue with is how come there's no House of Black in the motherfucking game?
Give it time.
There's Malachi, no Brody. I wasn't expecting Buddy, but Brody? Really?
They're going to be in the next, they're in the next update. They already said that they're in the next set, the next quote-unquote DLC packet, even though the DLC is going to be free.
Yeah.
They're not in the next DLC pack. The next DLC pack is like fucking Matt Hardy or some bullshit.
No, that's the pre-order bonus.
No, I already went. I was curious. I went to GameStop and I asked if there's any pre-game, pre-sign-up bonus. They said there was none.
That's a lie because the whole point that they literally tied it in with the Hardy Boys or the Broken Matt and Easy Money Matt.
Well, that the fact they also couldn't find a lot of details about it in the fucking store either. So
they announced the DLC wrestlers. There is no Brody King. There is no Buddy Matthews.
There will be.
It's a, there won't. Come on.
Dukes literally came out and said that they're going to be putting in 90% of the roster on free updates.
Did Danhausen make it?
That I don't know. As a manager, maybe. I don't know as a competitor.
Here's what they have so far. It's the FTR Revival Pack, a.k.a. FTR. Then you have the Uncommitted Bunny, the Limitless Bunny.
Yeah, Keith Lee and Butcher and Blade and Bunny.
All right, so you got Last Time We Cast, We're, and also Death Race X, and Join Us. Okay.
Yeah, they put game modes with that, too.
Yep, Keith Lee and Bunny. And
with more game modes.
The MJF Car Thrash and Slossling. Then you have the Hookhausen pack.
Oh, there you
Hook
go.
Hook and Danhausen. That's it. There is no House of Black.
For now.
Ah!
I mean, I pre-ordered the Hookhausen Unrivaled 2-pack.
Just not really sold on it at all.
That's the way I feel about it. That's why I'm not.
Look.
Yep.
It can't be any worse than Impact the Game.
Yeah,
that game was pretty piss poor.
Or Backyard Wrestling. Don't try this at home.
Well, that was straight. That was straight arcade.
That was actually supposed to be
a WCW game.
Yeah.
Backyard Wrestling had a chance, but they fucked that thing up horribly.
They used fucking CZW guys.
No, it wasn't that. It was that the gameplay was shit.
No, in 2, they used CZW guys in 2.
Yeah. I had fun with games before where, like, you know, they had all made-up guys. It doesn't matter. I mean, there's more indie wrestling games coming out soon that are going to have made-up guys or, you know, really good indie guys.
Yeah, but
if the gameplay is shit, don't matter.
But, all right. Well, while we talk about this, let's bring this into the station.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the show. If you like what you heard, follow us on all social media accounts under the Nerdport Network. Follow us individually on Twitter at Ethan Ronnie.
At the Zombie Master.
At ChipsMXC.
At Stunkark STL.
And join us back here on Monday as we dive into the deep version of collectibles for the season finale. And Ryan, what are we doing?
We are doing McFarlane Toys.
Okay, and yes. join us back here on... We'll see how it goes. We should be back on Wednesday, but we'll
Isn't
see how
the
it
fourth?
Goes.
Isn't that the 4th?
No, it's the 5th.
Oh, okay.
like I said, we'll see how it goes. Maybe we'll be back on the 5th. Maybe we'll go back a week. But if we come back in 2 weeks, we will be starting NCAA previews. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, tell your friends. If you didn't like what you hear, I hope you go and make a bet with your dick. If you don't like what you heard, tell your enemies. But until then, always remind them there's two things. One, Bobby Bonilla is always getting paid. And two, if you don't believe me, well, then fuck. That's just a fact of life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good night.
Yep.
Yeah.